the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Hello.
Hello. We are delighted to be here. We are in joy that we're here. We're enthusiastic to be here. We are feeling exhilarated being here with you. And from our place of exhilaration, guess what we're going to talk about today?
What?
Conflict. What? We're going to talk about conflict. Isn't conflict exciting? Isn't the idea of conflict fantastic? Do you understand where conflict comes from? Conflict comes from a difference of perception. Isn't that interesting that someone could perceive the same thing in a way that's completely different from the way you perceive it? You're looking both at the same thing and you see two different things. How could that even be possible? Well, it's possible because your perception of reality is completely different from everyone else's perception of reality. There's no way two people can see exactly the same thing. You may be looking at the Eiffel Tower, but to you, the Eiffel Tower is shorter or taller or darker or more dangerous or more exciting or whatever. You see completely two different things, two different colors to everything. There is no way for you to perceive how someone else perceives the same thing you're looking at because your perception is based on what? Your vibration. As your vibration interacts with the vibration of the other thing, well, you have a unique view of that thing. A view that's so unique that it's never been seen that way ever before in the history of the world, no matter what it is. So, you walk up to the Eiffel Tower, you look up. What you see is based on what you thought you would see, what you think it is, your perception of monument, your perception of being in a new place, your perception of height and time and how long it's been around compared to how long you've been around and all the history of it and the future of it and the surrounding area and what it all means. It is also based on your fears, your beliefs, your attitude, your approach to life. Everything your vibration is makes it unique to you makes everything you perceive unique to you as well. And therefore, the fact that you agree on anything is unbelievable, right? But somehow you have managed to form a few words here and there and to get general enough so that what you're looking at is similar in beliefs or ideas to what someone else is looking at. You look at the color blue, that color is completely unique to you. There's no way anyone else can see that same color, but you can agree that it's blue. Now, that's amazing that you agree, but the fact that you disagree makes total sense. You should disagree on everything. In fact, the whole universe is based on disagreement. You are not here to all do and say see the same things. You are all here to do unique things, right? This is an environment of uniqueness. Nothing is the same in this reality. Everything is unique. Therefore, why would you see the same thing as anyone else? There is nothing that's not unique. Everything is unique. Therefore, every possible thing you look at is unique to you. And because the way it interacts with your vibration compared to how it interacts with someone else's vibration means that you can see one thing while the other person sees something totally different. Or you can believe one thing or you can have a perspective of one thing that's completely different than everyone else's perspective. So if someone else disagrees with you, then are they wrong? Well, certainly they can't be wrong because there is no wrong in the universe. If there's no wrong in the universe, if we take that as the basic, most fundamental premise of our entire teachings, that there is no wrong in the universe, that means that literally nobody else can be wrong. And if they say the sky is pink and you say it's blue, then they cannot be wrong, nor can you be wrong, because the sky is blue to you and the sky could be pink to them, or they could be having fun with you, or they could be making some other point that you're just not getting at the time. Whatever it is, they can't be wrong. Now, there's an important thing in this wrongness, right? Because if you make someone wrong, then you cause conflict. And people resists conflict because in being wrong, it attacks their persona. Now, they lived a certain way their whole life based on this persona. They can't allow their persona to be wrong. So the ego has to defend the persona. The ego defends the persona and it says, this is a dangerous situation that we're in. So just like the survival instinct, we will either fight or flee or try to control the situation. And in doing that, you make their persona more rigid. They go in like a turtle in a shell. They close up, they shut down, or they fight back. Whatever they do, the conflict isn't ever going to change anyone's opinion. You could say something bizarre to us, and we would agree with you 100% of the time. You could say something that we know not to be accurate, and we would agree with you 100% of the time. Because the way to get you to move towards what you want is by removing fear. And in conflict, there is fear. So by releasing the fear out of the conflicting situation or the disagreement, you allow people to feel better and tend towards that which they truly want. You allow them to tend towards that which they intended prior to their birth. By trying to change someone and make them wrong and change that behavior into something you think would be better for them or for you, you just add fear to it. You just add this resistance to it. And they tend to receive urges and impulses to do something that's contrary to what they truly want. They tend to birth desires that may be contrary to what they truly want. And in trying to change another person, what you're really doing is making them seal up who they are being at the time. You're getting the exact opposite of what you want. So we say, avoid the conflict or diminish the conflict or don't start with the conflict or just see how everyone is always right for them. They don't have to be right for you. You can have a different opinion. You don't need to share your opinion because in sharing your opinion, all you're doing is making them wrong. So focus on how you can make someone right even when you think they're being wrong, sort of counterintuitive, and you will notice how the fear dissipates and they quickly resume allowing what they want. We love that we come to this unbelievable, incredible description of how the universe works, and all we get is a We should get cheers and celebration and jubilation. We've just made your life so easy, but all we get is a I think we need a new crowd.
It takes a minute to process sometimes.
Yes, it does.
We are teasing you. We are teasing you. So after all that, is there anything you'd like to talk about conflict? Or anything else in the universe? Very well. This has been a satisfying conversation.
I've got a question, Joshua, about conflict.
Yes.
Is it... Should we allow conflict sometimes? Sorry, guys.
Let's take that one for like, should you allow conflict? And what, come up with some possibility where conflict could be useful.
I don't know. I just feel like I'm really averse to conflict and try to avoid it at all price. And sometimes conflict might be way forward to expand.
Well, so, we would certainly say that sometimes conflict creates desire, and from that desire, you move to a new place. That's fine. Okay, so there is no wrong even in conflict. But we are simply suggesting that what you think conflict could achieve is not what it really achieves. So are we saying don't ever voice your opinion, don't ever say what you want? No, but you don't have to say it in a way that makes the other person wrong. That's the conflict. Making the other person wrong, bringing in fear, is the conflict. You can have a conversation with as little fear involved as possible. You can state what your perspective is, and as long as you're not making the other person wrong, then is there really any conflict?
Yeah.
So do you have an example where conflict was beneficial or necessary? Or why it could be a good thing?
I don't know. I remember having a situation last week where I felt very strong negative emotions because of in a conflict situation where somebody was making me wrong, and I
okay
immediately
excellent. This is what's going to happen. If you're not making the other person wrong, you're going to come across an occasion when they're trying to make you wrong. But you feel that they're wrong for trying to make you wrong. You feel that you're still having this conflict, even if you don't say anything. Because your inner dialogue is, I have my opinion. They disagree with my opinion. They're making me wrong in order to change my opinion. I wish they wouldn't do that. I wish they would simply either shut up or take my opinion, or at least take my perspective into concern. I wish they would be different than they are so I can feel better. And the answer to that is, who cares what they're doing? Feel better anyway. It's not your job to make them different so that you can feel better. Your new approach to life is allow them to try and change you all they want. And you can ignore it. You can change. You can do whatever you want to do. You just don't want to have them change. Doesn't
That's
seem
what
fair,
I did.
Does it?
Mm.
Yeah. It seems like if they're trying to have you change, then shouldn't you try and have them change? Doesn't seem fair that you're the one who has to take the high road all the time, that you're the one that has to change how you feel internally. But guess what? This is an internal game. All that other stuff on the outside is meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. You're just allowing your ego to defend your persona. But if you had a malleable persona, if you had a persona that was so expansive that nothing anyone said could ever bother you, then there would never be any need for conflict and you would never want to change anyone.
Can you, Joshua, this is Isabel, you actually just answered a question about this expandable persona, and I would love a little bit more examples of an expanded persona, because you mentioned that I would incorporate all traits, like no trait is, I don't know, good or bad. I would just it would be malleable. And I was just like, gosh, I can't wait for Monday so I can ask them.
So you have a set of traits that you believe about yourself. You believe you're kind. Is that true?
Yes.
You believe you're loving. You believe you care about people. You believe these are all good things.
Uh-huh.
You believe you're intelligent.
What about bad
traits? Excuse me?
Like, do bad traits count too?
You believe you are lazy. Do you ever believe that? Have you ever had a time where you ever thought you were lazy?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So believing you were lazy is a limiting trait. Would you agree? There is no benefit in believing you're lazy.
Right.
It is not true. It is false. Believing you are kind is also false. There's no benefit in believing you're kind.
Mm.
Because when you are unkind, you will think that that's not me. That's not who I am. That's not good. Therefore, I'm not good. If I tend to perceive something said as unkind, then I will think I'm unkind, then I will think I am not good, then I will think I'm not who I think I am, then I will reassess who I think I am and come up with something new. And that is all well and good, but that's just your persona. That's just your idea of self. We say you are kind, you are good, you are worthy, you are everything. You are all the good traits, and you are none of the bad traits.
Oh, okay.
You are expanded to everything. As you expand your persona, no one can call you lazy and have that register, have you even care about it.
Right.
Right? No one can call you unkind and have you even care about it. Now, if you define yourself as kind and someone calls you unkind, you're going to defend yourself. Your ego is going to pop up. Your fear is going to pop up. There's going to be fear there. The ego is going to have to defend the persona.
And then in my answer, you mentioned that what I was feeling, because I feel like I'm shedding right now, like the persona, like I'm like really letting go. And I said to you, I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm letting go, Isabel. And you were like, no, you're not. But you were saying what I was feeling, the pressure was my ego defending, trying to keep my persona manageable.
Your ego has realized that you've made it this far in life without dying. The ego believes that the persona as it is right now is perfect, because the evidence of that is that you haven't died. Your ego's sole purpose is to keep you alive.
Okay.
Therefore, if you start to alter the persona, the ego is going to jump in and say, please don't alter this persona. It's worked for us really good. We do not want change. We want it to stay the way it is so that we can keep going as we're going. It seems to be working. And you just push through that and say, ego, as we get more expansive, there's going to be less for you to do, because you're not going to have to jump in all the time. You're not going to have to defend anything. As we expand this idea of self, this from this limited small version of self that we believe in now to this infinite limitless self that we really are, we are not going to require your services as much as we do now. And the ego is going to say, well, I am the only thing that's protecting this structure from the dangers of reality. And it's going to want to hang on to things. And you're going to say, yes, I understand that you are feeling a need to interject, but we will keep on going and we'll keep on expanding and we don't have to change everything one day. We're just going to slowly over time change our idea of self so that it's more expansive than how we perceive ourselves to be right now. And in that expansiveness, we're going to face less fear. Because as a limitless being, you cannot face fear. There is no fear. Mm. It's only when you perceive your persona being attacked that you can feel fear. Only when you perceive that you can lose something that you feel fear. Only that you can perceive that things are not going the way they should be that you can feel fear. As the completely expanded version of yourself, you're limitless, you are without fear, and therefore you have no need for the ego.
Right.
So think of the survival instinct as you come across a lion. Fear is going to pop up, and you're going to either fight it or flee or use a device to overcome your fear or something, right? And as you feel this fear, you're going to mitigate the situation so that you're out of danger. If you have a rigid persona and someone says something to you, then there's no way really out of that. The ego is going to come to defend it, and you're going to fight the person so that they change their mind, and that's conflict. Or you're going to leave the room, and you're going to think to yourself, how dare they say that to me? And that's inner conflict and stress. And the danger is never going to go away because that person is always there. It's not like a lion coming up and walking past you and going back into the jungle. It's this person who happens to be sitting in the desk next to you at work. This person happens to be sleeping in bed with you at night. So you can't get rid of that person. Therefore, that fear is going to linger. Therefore, you're not going to be in alignment because this thing's going to drag you out of alignment. Therefore, you're going to have to either make them wrong, make yourself wrong, or find some device to get over it. And so by expanding the persona, these fears will have less impact on you.
Can we just tell ourselves over and over to just accept it and accept it as is, love what is, love what arises, just go with that mantra as things are happening?
Does that work for you? Is that a good device?
Yes.
Then that's perfect. Well, if that works for you and you actually feel relief in that, then that's perfect. If you feel relief in anything, then that's perfect. If you soothe yourself, then that is an excellent way to do it. If you take a higher perspective and realize, well, they're just feeling fear, and this is why they said it, and it has nothing to do with me, and they don't know who I am anyway, and they can't see me because their perception of reality is completely different, and who knows what they're looking at, and who knows what kind of fears pop up whenever I say this or I do this or whatever happens.
Right.
I have no control over how the other person's going to respond to me or the fears that I bring up in them. It is not my job to soothe their fears. It's my job to take a perspective and understand that they are feeling fear, but it has nothing to do with me. This idea that you have to change who you are being or behave in a way to keep others feeling no fear while discounting who you really are is just coercion. All you're trying to do is coerce them into not having fear. All you're trying to do is control their fears so that you can feel good. But if you give up that whole idea that they can have their fear. They can say what they want to say. That's fine with that. But it's not my responsibility to be who I'm not just so they can be okay. That's the life you learn to live as a child. And this is the life, the game you learn to play and how you now are coercing everyone around you and how you're being coerced yourself and how you're mostly not being who you are just so that other people don't get upset. The minute someone gets upset, you snap back into some other version of you that's not authentic. It's a version of you designed to make them feel better so that you can feel better yourself. Because when they feel upset, you feel upset. And you don't like to feel upset. And so the easiest way you think to stop feeling upset is to have them not be upset anymore. And so you make up and you be good for a while until something happens again.
This is Jennifer. Can I throw out an example about conflict that happened to me? Because when we're saying you just want to take the higher approach and just say, I'm just going to love them, that doesn't feel realistic when you're in the midst of something that's creating a lot of negative emotion. So
let's say that you have a disagreement and somebody says something to you And because your perspective is high, you know it's false. And what they're asking you to do is change who you are. Now, what do you do in that situation? What's the first idea that comes to you?
When someone wants to change who you are?
When they want to change you, when they want you to change, when they want you to understand their point, when they want you to be different than you are, what's your first response to them?
Usually, the first response is irritation or anger.
Resistance,
yeah.
So, and what would you like to have happen then?
Well, I was going to ask you if we could evaluate just a quick example, because this kind of happened for me. And
let's do a specific example.
This week, my mother turned 70, and we had a surprise for her. My siblings flew in from out of town, and it was awesome. And my gift for my mother was to arrange a photographer, a professional photographer, to come and take photographs of all of us while we were together, because it's very unusual for us to be together. And that's why it was the only thing my mom wanted for her birthday. And because we're really watching costs right now, I got my siblings to pitch in, and we were all going to cover the, you know, divvy up the expense. But my siblings before the birthday were like, we don't really think mom's going to like this idea. They didn't like it. They thought it was corny. They said, we all have cell phones. We don't need to have a photographer. And so I made an agreement with them that if the photographer, you know, we presented her the gift, and if my mom said, I don't really want to do this, then we wouldn't do it. Okay. So I'll try to make this more succinct, but I knew my mother would love that idea because she's turning 70. She's very in a point in her life where she's thinking a lot about the past, very weepy, feeling like I sense that she feels like her life is ending soon, and she just wants to hang on to me. And so I just thought it would be an awesome way to commemorate the visit and get pictures anyway.
Right.
So
you're doing a wonderful job describing your perspective.
My perspective, right. So, and I agreed that if she didn't want to do it, we wouldn't do it. So we presented her the gift, and I did sense that there was a little resistance from my mom, but then but she was like, no, okay, that sounds great. The next morning, my sister calls and says, now keep in mind, my sister and my brother spent the same night at my mom's. I left. So the next morning, they're like, yeah, mom doesn't want to do it. And you will save the money and go out to dinner instead or whatever. And so I was incredibly disappointed. So I took the opportunity to just say, okay, this is about me. And if she doesn't want it, and like I got myself to peace with it. It took a couple of hours. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I wasn't just presto change-o. Oh, I'm an expanded being and love and la, la, la. I was pissed. I was kind of like, you know, this was something I wanted to do. And I thought it would be beautiful. And I thought they were being very short-sighted and not looking at the big picture. So I had to, but it really took some, I had to really process that I wanted to, because I was annoyed. I felt like my sister and brother ganged up when I wasn't around and talked my mother out of it because they didn't want to do it. And everything. So this just happened. So when you were talking about conflict, and I was just like, you know, putting myself back in this very real example that just happened. Like, is it because I'm not expanded enough that I couldn't just presto change? I'll be like, you know, harps and roses and la, 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 and everything is fine. Like, I didn't like it.
You were close to the situation. Could anyone else instantly see the sister and brother's point and drop it? Everyone else listening to this would have said, no big deal. It's no big deal. You just happened to be close to this one thing. It was your idea, and you were attached to this idea. You built up the idea in your head. But nobody else listening to this would care. Everyone else would have said, no problem. Let's do something else. Let's go to dinner. Great idea. It's only because you thought it was a good idea that you were attaching something about yourself to it, and that if others thought it wasn't a good idea, that it would mean something about you. So it was your ego defending your persona, making the other person wrong. If you would have thought, I have no attachments to anything, this present doesn't mean anything about me, this idea doesn't mean anything about me, this doesn't mean that I'm a good or bad person, whether they like the idea or not has nothing to do with it. I chose to include him in this. I could have done it on my own and just given it to my mother and let anything happen as it was. But now I have this fear of money at this time in my life, and so therefore I'm making this about the money when it's not about the money anyway. So you have worked yourself up into this perception of reality that does not exist, that they should be like this way, that this present means something, that my mother thinks this is would be a wonderful thing, and then they probably talked her out of it, blah, 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 blah. Created this ball of energy around this gift. And that when that ball didn't land properly, didn't manifest as you thought it would, then you were attached to the manifestation of this thing that never mattered in the first place. Right. So if it was important to you, you could have manifested it. But because you gave control over the manifestation to others, you blamed them for it not manifesting. And then, because it didn't manifest this desire that you had, because this was really for you, it wasn't for your mother or anyone else, it was your idea, it's the thing that you want to bring forth from the non-physical to the physical. You want to manifest that idea. You have this picture in your head of what the photographs are going to look like and where they're going to sit, and that you're going to be able to, you know, give them to your kids one day, and they'll give them to their kids one day, and this will be this big, important family thing. So you build up all this hot air around this thing, and when they poke a hole in your balloon, you blame them for poking the hole. But this is your balloon. Do you see?
Yeah, and actually, I'm pretty proud of myself that I let it go within a couple of hours, because
exactly.
I think if it happened a year ago, it would have ruined the entire weekend.
Exactly.
Because I was so incredibly disappointed. So is it that this happened for me to kind of evaluate the way I handle it?
Everything happens for you. There's nothing that doesn't happen for you. It's not possible for something to exist in your reality that's not for you. Everything is for you. This is an unbelievably fantastic manifestation event. And the fact that you didn't make them wrong verbally is a phenomenal leap forward. The fact that you were able to process this in your mind, come here today and talk about it, form a conclusion, and realize that you have created something, an attachment to something, that was just an idea. That's all it was. Right. And if you really wanted to manifest, you could have manifested it. But by falsely believing that it was out of your control, because either A, you didn't have enough money, or B, they didn't go along with it, then you tend to look towards blame of others. Because your ego saying, no, this is a good idea that I came up with. I am a smart person. Them thinking it's a bad idea is wrong, because it's a good idea because I'm a smart person. They're just not seeing how good it is. You know, all these things, you're attaching labels to the idea, labels to yourself, and making it way more than it is. Now, this is a great example of something that's super minor. Imagine if it's something big. You can, in the moment, realize that you're attached to something. As soon as you realize, oh, I'm attached to this thing. Ooh, that feels weird. I'm attached to it. Like, I care. You know, why do you care about anything?
Something that's helped me, this is something that I've been practicing too, being okay with being made wrong. Or feeling like someone is trying to make me wrong.
The only way you can feel like you're being made wrong is to feel that the other person's wrong.
Right. So.
Sorry, can you say that again?
The only way you can feel that someone else is making you wrong is by believing they're wrong for making you wrong. If you didn't think they were wrong, you could not be made to feel wrong.
Yeah.
So, of course, that's a leading edge thought, and we're not saying that this is even possible, but this is the idea behind it. The only reason you could say that someone's making you wrong is if you have a fear. If you had no fear, if your persona was so malleable that you attached nothing to you, then no matter what they said or how they made you feel wrong, you'd say, I'm not a bad ballerina, so I don't care. If you had said to someone, I'm a good ballerina, and they say you're not a good ballerina, you're a bad ballerina, would you care? Anyone? Would anyone care?
Maybe. Maybe. Nope. Maybe.
Kate, are Honestly, you a good ballerina maybe. Or a bad ballerina?
I'm not a good ballerina.
And if someone said, you're a terrible ballerina, would you care? You would not care.
Yes.
So everything anyone else is ever saying to you is that you're a bad ballerina. But since you're not a ballerina, since you're not honest, since you're not trustworthy, since you're not loving, whatever it is, because you're not defined by any of those labels, then you don't care what they say. It's only when you prop yourself up as if you mean something to somebody when you are kind, right? I'm kind. I'm a kind person. I'm kind. You should see that I'm kind. Damn you, Kate, you see I'm kind? Why don't you see I'm kind? But who cares? You're not kind. It doesn't matter. You're so far beyond kind that kindness is a limiting label. And so when someone says you're not kind, or when they infers you're not kind, or that you're not nice, or that they're ignoring you, or that you must have said something to make them mad, you know, because you're a good person. You know, they got the wrong impression of me. I'm a good person. They shouldn't get mad. You know, they took it the wrong way. Who cares how they took it? It has nothing to do with you. It's them. Right. Sorry, Kyla. Please continue.
If somebody in your reality wants you to go somewhere or do something and you're thinking, oh, I don't want to do that. I just really don't do it. Is that just resistance? Is that what you're talking about when you're telling?
Just do it. If it comes into your life, it's for you. Do it. Just say yes. Just say yes to everything. We're specifically talking to Wendy. Stop saying no. Just say yes. Don't think about it. If someone comes up to you and says, hey, let's do this, you just say yes. What is it? We're going to go bungee jumping. Yes. And then when you get to the bungee jump place, you can say no. But at least you went that far.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so if you're sitting down to eat something or listen to a podcast and someone says, let's go do this, and it's like, oh, I really don't want to do that.
There's a reason it came up.
You go, yes.
Just go, yes.
Came up for
let's go, yes.
Okay. Yes.
And then you can always say no later.
Okay.
But what happens is somebody says something to you, and they say, you want to do this, and you think about it. What does that entail? I got to get clothes on,
exactly.
I gotta take a shower, gotta put my hair up, gotta put my makeup on, gotta get the money, gotta take time off, gotta lose these other things that I could be doing instead. I'm gonna lose time, I'm gonna lose these other opportunities. But if this comes into your reality, for you specifically, we're not talking about anyone else here, but for you specifically, go for it. Just start, see, this is how you learn what is inspired action, right? Because for Wendy and for gazillions of other people, the inspired idea comes and they go, that's not inspired. I'd have to take a shower first. I don't want to do that. That's a stupid idea. But this is how now, we would agree with you. If you created thoughts on your own, if you were an idea factory, then certainly a lot of your ideas would be shit, right? But if you're being sent ideas from infinite intelligence, your millions of guides and supporters are carefully plucking out these ideas, knowing they're perfect for you right now, and handing them to you on a silver platter, and saying, here's this idea that's going to change your life. And you say, nope, okay, I don't want to take a shower. I'm not going to do that. That's way too much work. And your guide on the board is like, no problem. We'll find something else. Here's this one. And they're like, after so many years of doing this, like, here's another one. Nope. Here's another one. Nope. Will she take this one? Nope. Should we even give her one? Yeah, we'll keep giving her one. Will she take it? No. Don't worry about it. Nope. They don't even get upset. We're just kidding. They're happy from the first idea they gave you when you were 2 years old, or 1 day old, or 1 hour old, to the ideas they're giving you now, they're just as happy, and they're just excited, and they pick the idea from the universe, and they bring it down there all together, and they hand it to you every single time. But they don't get disappointed when you say no. They're going to go, okay, we're going to find another one. We're going to get to another one. She'll take the next one. They keep thinking that you're going to take the next one. Your group of guides and supporters is a tough group of people. They are hanging in there after all these years. But as with everyone, you take some inspiration, you follow some inspiration, and then magical things happen. And then you think that things should be a certain way, and so it doesn't seem like that idea is a good idea, so you say, forget it, I'm not doing that one. All you have to do is allow the idea to come in, take whatever steps in front of you, whether that's a phone call, looking something up online, talking to a friend, reading a piece of paper, investigating it to the next step. And then you can make a decision after that. Just allow the inspiration to come. That's all we're saying.
Okay. Easy.
It's easy. It's simple. But you get into a habit of discounting it when it's right there in front of you and calling it not inspiration because it doesn't strike you like a thunderbolt. Mm. The thunderbolt inspirations when you are coming off of something traumatic and you... Have you ever seen that story about the plane that went off into the air, flew into a bunch of birds, and landed on the Hudson?
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine the feeling of exhilaration when those people realized they were still alive? Just think of that. You are pretty sure you're going to die in that plane. And you have a good few minutes, pretty much knowing you're going to die. And when you don't die, imagine that exhilaration. Now, what's that exhilaration all about? It's about them suddenly snapping back into alignment, right? And so after that, they may have birth desires. And the inspiration after an event like that might have been so obvious. They may have started charities or traveled the world or fell back in love or whatever it is. The snapping back into alignment caused huge emotion, huge positive emotion, and birth strong desire. Well, you don't have to get inspiration like that. You can just be bipping along, enjoying life. And an idea comes, and you get to follow it. No, nothing traumatic happens, no big deal, no big shakeup. You just get an idea. And you just say, where is that leading? And you just follow the idea. And that idea will lead to something else, and lead to something else, and lead to something else. And all of a sudden, something manifests that's unbelievable in your life. Or something manifests that's nice, like the first spot in a parking lot. Nice. Mm-hmm. Like an easy ride down the highway. Nice. Or unbelievable. Lots of different things. But by saying no, 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 all you're doing is limiting what can come to you. Limit, 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 limit. You came here to expand through experience. You're expanding no matter what you're doing. You're expanding as you talk to us. You're expanding by choosing not to do something. You're expanding, expanding, expanding all the time. So you can't get it wrong. You can't fail in this. But you intended to live a less limited life, a limitless life. That's what you intended. That's what everyone intended, to live as limitless as possible. And so by shying away from things, just because you think you have a little fear, and you think the fear is going to lead to another fear or whatever, lead to another disconnection with alignment, then you shy away from things. But when you go do it, when you were a child and you were forced to do things, you had no choice. You just did whatever your parents told you. They took you on a trip, and because you weren't as resistant as you are now, you just went with it, and you had a good time most of the time.
So, Joshua, so I'll give you a scenario. So, but can't sometimes saying no mean be a yes for you? In other words, let's say you're working out, getting to know yourself more, and let's say you always say yes because of obligation, or you feel like, I don't want to say no, afraid to say no.
Excellent.
So,
excellent. That's a
and what if you know that, you know, today I want to do something for me. I want to hang out, go to a movie alone. And someone asks you to go do something, can that no be a yes?
Or if you, obviously, it's an interesting situation. Let's imagine that you've committed to something. Mm-hmm. Now, if something comes up to you, if you are one who is in alignment most of the time, if you're feeling good, you can look at the two things and say, which one excites me more? Now, what will happen in the case where you have two things, where you've committed to one thing, you feel that by committing that you owe that, right? That you've made a contract, that you can't break that contract. And the reason you can't break that contract is because you've attached a label to yourself as someone who's reliable. And you want people to think you're reliable. Because you believe that if you're reliable, people will offer you more opportunities like this. And so you have a fear of loss. If I choose to do something that I'm more excited to do, and I don't do this thing, then that person is going to think I'm not reliable. They may tell other people how unreliable I am, and they're not going to invite me back. But this is not how the universe works. The universe brings you what you need when you need it. You don't have to rely on this person to invite you again. That's done with. If you choose to do something else, then you can disregard that commitment altogether. It doesn't mean anything. They may feel fear that you didn't come. They may feel rejection, but that's on them. You don't have to solve their problem for them. You have to solve your problem. You don't have a problem, but you have to solve what's right for you. You have to move towards what you want. So if you say to yourself that I'm going to take the day and go to a movie, and then someone says, I want to hire you for this. I want a tapping session. I can only do it today. And you say to yourself,
why do you make it a personal, man?
You say to yourself, I have made a decision to go to the movies, but that's irresponsible to go to the movies when I could be making money, right? I'm here to make money. I want the money. The money is important, right? Because if I don't take the money now, that person could go somewhere else. That's a fear of loss, right? It's also a fear of being perceived. Now, you could say to the person, oh, yes, I can't do it today because I'm going to the movies by myself. Would you ever say that?
Yeah.
No, you would never say that. You would lie. I'm going to the hospital. I'm going to have surgery. That's the only reason I can't do it. You would never say, I'm going to go enjoy myself doing something frivolous because you think it means something about you. Right? So you do what you're most excited to do in the moment. You don't do it because you think it means something about you or you have an attachment to what other people think or you worry about this loss.
Okay. Right? All right.
What we're doing is telling you to be completely irresponsible because the universe does not react according to responsibility. That is a control mechanism that you've instituted. And that may have been important back when you had a responsibility to protect your village from predators. Right? And if you chose to go wandering off and go swimming in the river instead of watching the huts and protecting the entrance to the cave or whatever it was, well, then you could be outcast and that would be a serious danger. In this case, you're not going to be outcast. Right? Oh, what if I don't show up to work? I'll get fired. Well, if you have a belief that you'll get fired, well, that belief is propelling you. If you have a belief that you can take an afternoon off and nobody's going to care, then that belief will propel you. You're creating your own reality through your beliefs. Right? So as you make your beliefs more malleable, as you make your persona more malleable, as you understand that you're making this all up as you're going along, as you understand that this is all an illusion, that this isn't anything real anyway, that you're coming to a new understanding of how reality works, that you can start doing what seems interesting. If you will follow through on inspired action, and then realize the fear that pops up, the fear that someone might think I'm irresponsible or unreliable or whatever it is, and or I might miss out on something better. If you realize that that fear is completely irrational, doesn't matter of any of these things, and just do what you're inspired to do, and realize that the inspiration was sent to you from infinite intelligence, from your guides and supporters, all looking out for your best interest, knowing that if you get this inspiration to act, and if you act, and even if it lands you right in the middle of a, you know, what you consider a painful manifestation event, well, you had to go through that manifestation event, and that was the way to do it.
Yeah.
You know? So there is no wrong.
And it seems to me discernment is the skill of discerning what excites you, what you're...
Yes, because it's super easy to say, that's a bad idea.
Right. Right.
It's super easy to say, well, I feel fear, therefore that's not inspired. Because if it was inspired,
right, exactly.
I wouldn't have fear. No, you'll have fear no matter what it is. And if it's a little mellow, subtle inspiration, you can come up with a million reasons not to do it. If it's huge, inspired, and you can't do anything else, well, those are the occasions that are usually coming after something traumatic, right? And you don't need the traumatic things to inspire you. You don't need to write the great love songs after you've just been dumped, right? You can write the great love songs anyway. Yeah. Mm.
Thank you.
Excellent. Who's next?
I have a question about, we all often talk about fear all the time, love and fear, but how do we practically overcome fear when it arises? Like, what do we say to ourselves? What are some good instructions we can say to let go of that fear and gain a better perspective in the moment?
So you know, first of all, you understand that you're going to be feeling fear, right? And you understand what that is. And you understand that you have to analyze it. Is this fear rational or irrational? Now, we're not saying is the fear real or not. The fear is real. If you're feeling it, it's real, right? We're just saying, can this fear lead to my death or not? If it can, then we process this danger somehow. We move around the cliff. We take another route. Something, you know, we do something physical to get out of it. If it's irrational, you will tend to want to control it by changing it, right? You will tend to want to change the conditions so that you feel better. You will tend to want to shoot the fear. Imagine that you are walking in the jungle with a rifle and up comes a lion. And instead of running away, you just shoot the lion, right? Well, that's perfectly acceptable in the jungle, as long as you don't mind shooting lions. However, in real life, if your child is whiny or complaining, you can't shoot the child. You might want to tell the child not to be whiny and complaining. You might want the child to be different than it is. The issue is this fear. So the fear is, what's that fear? You have to think, what do I care? Why am I annoyed? What is this fear that's causing me to feel annoyed? Right. And the fear is, well, it could be that there's something wrong with my child. It could be that he's making a noise in a restaurant and other people are looking over here, or we're on a plane and the other passengers are looking at me like I'm a bad mother. So it's, again, the fear is of what other people think. We say, okay, let's say the fear is of what other people think. Now, do I know any of these people? No. Do they have any impact on my life at all? No. Is there any ramifications from this activity whatsoever? No. So what am I really fearing? Well, I'm fearing just that they perceive me in a way that I don't want them to perceive me in. Why do I care how they perceive me? That caring what other people think is irrational, isn't it? It doesn't mean anything. It's a real fear. You really feel it. But when you can say it to yourself, it doesn't mean anything. The fussing will be over in a minute. He's going to fall asleep at some point. Tomorrow's another day, that sort of thing. And just move forward to what it is that you want. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Always think about what you want. And if you can remove the fear out of it or diminish the fear, then it'll enable you to move towards what you want, to take action that is not making your child wrong. That's something that will come up as an impulse, right? If your child's crying, you're going to say, stop crying. You're being silly. What's wrong with you? That sort of thing. So you are adding this layer of making them wrong, this layer of insecurity on top of them that you do not want to do. It's not about what your child wants. It's about what you truly want. You want your child to grow up confident and secure and feeling good about themselves, right? So what you truly want is for them to be happy and healthy. But what you think you want in the moment of this fear is for them to stop being who they are so that you can feel better, right? So you have a conflict in yourself. On one hand, you want your child to be secure and confident and happy, right? On the other hand, you want them to stop crying right now. So the reason you want them to stop crying is so that you can feel better yourself. But what you truly want is them to grow up, to live a happy life, being secure. So you have to process this fear. I'm feeling fear now. I have these impulses to make them stop. Is that really what I want? And you say, no, that's not really what I want. What I really want is this. And if I act on my urge to quiet him by beating him in public in front of all these people, which is what they all want you to do, then I'm not really getting what I want, am I? I'm doing the opposite of what I want. All I'm doing is getting this short-term gain, but by controlling conditions, it's not giving me what I truly want. It's giving me what I think I want. And then you're just going to feel bad later by acting on this urge. You're going to realize what happened. Do you see what we're saying here?
Yeah.
So imagine you have an argument with your husband. Imagine that he is perceiving something in a way that brings up fear in him, and he wants you to be different than you are. So he tells you to stop spending money, for instance. Why are you buying these organic eggs? We should eat these kind of eggs. You know, who are you to spend all this money? So he has a fear about money, and he's looking around to what he can change, and the first thing he bumps into is you. You're the one who buys the things, right? So he looks at you to change you, and you respond by feeling negative emotion. You feel the fear too. And what you believe is that he's attacking your persona, something that you think is good about you, that you are a good, you know, shopper, for instance, right? A good ballet dancer, the same thing. You're a good shopper, and that you picked this thing, organic eggs, because it's good for your family. It's what you want in the long term, right? And here he is, assailing you for being a bad shopper. So your ego protects your persona. You get in this conflict, fear over fear. And what you could say in the moment is, okay, what do I want here? I want him to be happy. I want to have a loving relationship. I want harmony in this home. I don't want to fight. I don't want conflict. What I want is harmony. So how best, knowing that I feel fear, knowing that he feels fear, how best can I accomplish harmony? And what do we always say in conflict? Anyone know what we always say?
You're right. I'm sorry.
I apologize. Okay. Exactly. You're right. I apologize. Now, you can say that. You don't make him wrong. You don't make you wrong. You don't change your behavior in any way, shape, or form. You go on buying organic eggs every single day of your life. You do not care. But in that moment of the conflict, you alleviate the situation, realizing that he has fear, that you have fear, and you just say, you're right. I apologize.
Okay. Well, yeah. What about in, like, if you have chronic anxiety, like, in that very moment, do you just, like, the first thought you could think of is maybe, is this fear irrational or rational? Like, how do you overcome that very first moment of anxiety? Something so, that you could say to yourself, okay. That first question,
so,
I guess.
Tell us, explain the definition of chronic anxiety.
I don't really know. I don't have it that bad. I'm just thinking in moments when I get super worked up as something maybe upset. Right. But.
So you just have anxiety. It's not chronic. It's just a habit of anxiety. There's nothing chronic about
true.
It. Right. So anxiety is thinking the things are not happening as they should.
Okay.
Right. It's always a future thing anyway. You just think that right now things don't seem to be going like they should. So you just realize that you feel fear, that you have disconnected with the perspective of your life that your inner self has. That's all that anxiety is. It's just an indication, a simple little indication, that you have chosen to view what's happening as wrong.
Okay.
And your inner self has chosen to view what's happening as perfectly right. Do you have a specific example of some anxiety that came up?
Oh, it could be anything from paperwork that needs to be due at a certain date or crowds. I mean, there's a, you know,
so
little
let's
thing,
say
but...
that you have paperwork that needs to be done. And let's say you wake up in the morning, it's due by 8 a.m., and you're now at 7 a.m.
Okay.
So you have a fear of what? So the anxiety is just a fear. So the anxiety is a fear of what happening?
Not being able to get it done in time.
And what happens if you don't get it done in time?
Maybe legally something might happen.
Like what?
Some kind of authority would contact me and say, you know, please, you get a fine or something.
Get a fine, right? So then, okay, let's say there's a fine. So that's a fear of loss. I could lose money.
Okay.
I could lose prestige. I could lose credibility. All these things, right?
Okay.
I could lose my job. All these fear of loss. Fear that you could lose something. Right? Now, you could lose money, but money doesn't come that way anyway, right? If you start worrying about little money being lost, then you are just limiting the money that can come. So
right.
That's another topic. That's abundance altogether. So you have a fear that abundance is finite. And that's a wonderful thing to think about. So you think, well, what is the fear here? What's the actual fear? What am I really worried about here? What is the exact thing that I'm going to lose? And we'll say it's a fine. You're going to be fined $500 if you don't get this paperwork in. If you don't pay that ticket in time, whatever it is. You're going to get $500 and you're going to have points in your license and your insurance rate's going to go up and all that. And you say, okay, so I have this fear of loss. This is a manifestation event showing me, because anytime you feel negative emotion, that's a manifestation event. It's a chance for you to look at a limiting belief. And in this case, the limiting belief is that money is finite, right? That is an extremely limiting belief. For you specifically, to get where you want to go, for your desires, your strong desires that you have birthed, you have to give up that belief.
Okay.
You have to adopt a belief that abundance is infinite, that I receive everything I need when I need it. And if I need $500 to pay this bill, that I will receive it, that it will come to me. I don't know how. I don't care how. It'll come to me. Now, you take that another step further. My husband doesn't believe the same thing I do. He is also believing that money is tight. Therefore, he's going to look at me as being irresponsible, as a bad person. So my persona is being attacked. My ego is defending my persona. Even the fear that this could even happen, it's not even happening, and the anxiety is that it could happen, right? So you are practiced in thinking, if you're feeling anxiety or worry, that is a practice of imagining the worst that could happen. And by imagining the worst that can happen, you attract that to you, to a certain degree, not. Actually, not really, but you attract the exact feelings of what can happen. Because if you imagine your husband being disappointed in you because you didn't do something in time and that incurred a $500 cost, and you imagine him getting fearful and you imagine him blaming you for it or thinking you're not a good person, and then you think, well, if this keeps going on, he's going to divorce me, and then where will I be, blah, 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 blah. Well, all that actual ramifications of that happening, to the degree you think about it, is happening to you now. So it's as if he actually got angry with you. He didn't get angry with you. You haven't even missed the deadline yet. You're just thinking about it, right? So what is the allure of thinking about the worst possible thing that could happen in the future?
Yeah.
You know, there is no allure to that other than habit and other than it feeling normal to you. But if you do that, you're disconnecting, again, from your higher perspective from your inner self. You're not moving towards what you want. You're thinking about life in a scary and dangerous way, in a way that isn't true at all. Yeah. And of course, for you personally, being a good person that you are, thinking about that makes you do the thing so that doesn't happen. And then when it doesn't happen, you can feel relief. As soon as you get that paperwork done, what's the emotion that you feel? It's some form of relief, right? Mm-hmm. And that relief is your sign that you're connecting back to your inner self's perspective once again. But you don't have to go there.
Right? Okay. Because, well, so what do you think about responsibility? Should we only have responsibilities that are just inspired? Like, you know, people feel flooded with all kinds of responsibilities. Do you guys think responsibilities is a joke? You know, like, why do we do that to ourselves? Yes. Or
it's a limitation. It's ridiculous. Right. We are proponents of going with the flow and whatever that means. Mm-hmm. You place responsibility on yourself because that's how you were taught. You were put into this system where you had to wake up at a certain time. You had to bathe. You had to make sure your clothes were cleaned. You had to clean up your room. You had to do this, do this. You had to go to school. You had to get good grades. You had to be good. You had to be good. You had to, and then you were plugged into this matrix. Now you lucky ones here aren't as plugged in as other people are, but you're still plugged into the matrix. And this idea that you have responsibilities, that you have to do things. And certainly if you have this belief, then you have to do it. Right? But we can say ease out of that matrix slowly and surely and realize that not everything has to be done. The bed doesn't have to be made every day. The dishes don't have to be washed every day. The kids don't have to do their homework every day. There's nothing's going to fall apart. Everything's going to be fine. Why am I placing all this stress on my life? It doesn't make any sense. Ease up, relax, because the more you believe you need to be responsible, the more you're going to worry and have anxiety in the future. Mm. The idea is to be easy about life. Be natural. Just do what you're inspired to do. And if you're inspired to do the paperwork because the deadline's coming, right, then you're going to get it done like that because you're going to engage the forces of the universe. You're just going to say, now's the time to do it. Have you ever noticed yourself to be hyper-productive when the deadline's coming? Because you engage universal energies because your desire is very strong to get it done. And so that's fine too.
Right. Okay.
Hey, Joshua, quick question. One thing, thank you for what you just said, everything you just said.
And then we also, are hoping that this isn't going to be another one of your dumb questions.
Is this a dumb question? Yeah, it's a dumb question.
Excellent. We want more dumb questions.
Good for you, Mark.
That's right.
That's all you're going to be getting here, Joshua, from me.
Excellent. That's what we want.
And also, thank you for talking about the money and about realizing that abundance is coming and ideas will come. And actually, Kyla was just saying that before the call about how ideas will come. So, but the question about the organic egg. So your wife, let's say I buy the eggs and your wife says, you know, we shouldn't be buying organic eggs. And I say, you're right, honey, I'm sorry. And then, but what do I do tomorrow when I'm going to go shopping?
Buy organic eggs. What are you inspired to buy?
Oh, buy them.
Buy them. See, okay. The fear is only in the moment. The fear doesn't, this is the new moment, right? This is the new reality. The next day is completely different.
Right.
Yeah. Now,
then she gets pissed if she has a manifestation event. I gave her a bullshit apology. You know what I mean? I mean, what if she gets pissed the next day that I gave her a bullshit apology and I just ignored it and bought those eggs?
Yeah. So what's wrong with that? Keep buying the eggs, right? She's going to have to come to the realization that she can't control you, that you are beyond control, that you are not there to be controlled. You are not there to behave in a way that is going to jeopardize who you are, who your being is, what you're inspired to do. You're not going to get inspiration and then say, hold it, let me call my wife, right? Are you? Is that the life you're going to live? And then ask her every single time? Of course not. You're going to live your life. She's going to get upset. You're not going to feed into the conflict. You're going to say, you're right, I'm sorry. And then she's going to go on. And then pretty soon you're going to say, I'm right, I'm sorry, enough times that she's going to stop complaining. Right? Because it's not going to do her any good. She can't change you no matter how much you complain.
Go ahead. She might.
Let's see what happens. What happens with the wife? She might get what?
She might. Well, okay. I don't know. This is not a very. But I just.
As long as you don't want to change her.
What if she gets seething, angry, like, you know, because I've seen couples where, like, the husband keeps ignoring the wife, and she's not going to let go
of
that.
You're not ignoring her.
She might get...
You're not ignoring her. You're saying to her, I understand. You're right. I get your perspective. Your fear is justified. You're right. I apologize. And then you're going to do it again. If you're inspired to. You may not be inspired to. But if you're inspired to, you're going to do what you're inspired to do. Because you know that you're not helping her. You know that there's nothing that can help her by you changing who you are. She can get upset to the point where she understands what's happening here. That her fear, you keep buying these eggs and you're still not homeless. After 2 weeks of buying eggs, you're still not homeless. Right? It doesn't make any difference. It's just her fear. And then she could say, hey, I had this fear, but this fear really wasn't worth it. You know, trying to make my husband different than he is just to save a few bucks on eggs, that makes no sense. Right?
What about the idea that's been brought up before when I've talked about this in situations where I've had to say, you're right, I'm sorry, and I didn't necessarily feel that, like feel the truth of it. And
you don't have to feel the truth.
What you've said before, for is like a lot of it has to do with, I mean, what my ultimate, I can't know what it is that I actually want, but I can think about what my ultimate desire is. And so in some situations, my ultimate desire is harmony in this relationship. Right. And so in that sense, I evaluate, are these eggs like an expression of who I am? Or are these eggs like a sticking point, like where I just have to prove that it's okay, that we'll be fine if we get these eggs? Or is it just, I prefer to care for my body. And one of the foods that feels best to me is organic eggs as compared to regular eggs. And that's why. So in that moment, in that argument, you can say, I understand. I recognize that you're feeling fear. I understand where you're coming from. I'm sorry. I'm sorry is enough. And then let it go. And then the next time you're at the store and you have that thought, you receive the thought to buy the eggs, you can analyze, is this coming from a positive place? Am I getting these eggs because they are, like I said, like an expression of who I am? Is it coming from a loving place? I'm feeling good. I would love some organic eggs right now. Or is it coming from a place of, she told me I can't get these eggs, so I'm going to get these eggs, and I'm going to show her that these eggs are part of me, and she has to accept these eggs. Right. I think there's a big difference, and it's a situational thing, and there are things that, you know, it's easy to get worked up over eggs, and it's also, you know, the eggs represent something bigger, I think, a lot of the time.
I think what you guys are saying is that, okay, for one thing, don't overthink the whole thing. Say sorry in the beginning, and then go with your perspective, and go with your higher, you know, get connected, and go with your inner perspective the next time you're at the place. And basically, if you just do that and trust that, shit will work out eventually, one way or another.
Let's look at the dynamic of this.
Uh-huh.
Your wife is angry with you. You do not want to cause conflict. So you agree with her, and you say you're sorry. And you dissolve the conflict. You let it dissipate. Mm-hmm. The fear leaves her. The fear leaves you. As long as you understand that you are not diminished in who you are by apologizing, by saying you're right, by seeing her point of view. You are simply choosing to do what you want to do most, what you truly want to do, which is a harmonious relationship with your wife. Now, what most people might want to do is they would feel the fear that they're being attacked. And in that fear, they dip below the horizontal emotional line, the horizon. And they have access not to what they truly want, but to urges and impulses. And so they
defend,
reflect,
argue.
Yeah. Argue back and try to make the other person wrong for thinking that they're wrong. Try to change the person, but that person can never be changed. You think that they could be changed. You have this idea in your head that, yes, if I argue properly, that will change their mind. But it doesn't change their mind. The only thing they will do is either fight back or recede, flee, take flight, right? If they take flight, you have not won. They have just chosen not to encounter. The conflict still goes on in their head without you.
Right.
They still keep that conversation going, the whole fight, all night long. It keeps going until they wake up the next day and they either feel better or not. You have, by engaging in any conflict, you have put a chink in the relationship that needs to be mended over time. Right. So we just say, don't put any chinks in the relationship. Don't get involved. Don't try to change the other person. The other person is always right. Always right. But so are you. Okay. And so now you go back to the store and you think, well, if I buy these eggs, it's be another fight. And I'm not going to buy the eggs then, right? That's not a good thing. Yeah. That's not a positive thing. That is just fear on your part of conflict. Right? If you're inspired by these eggs, then you buy the eggs, no matter what she feels as far as her fear is. Because you're not helping her by maintaining this idea of lack of abundance in the first place, right? You have an idea of abundance. Your idea of abundance includes another $2 to buy these eggs, right? Or another $50 to buy this luxury item. Or another $500 a month to buy the car that you want, whatever it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you allow yourself to be limited by someone else, well, you are just taking on someone else's baggage, someone else's limiting belief yourself. And you are not helping them live a more abundant life. You're not helping them either if you say, listen, you're not being abundant. This is the way to abundance, right? That's not helping either. But what would help is for them to get angry, for them to realize that they're having a manifestation event, even if they don't realize it, but to go through this themselves and to see your example of alignment. When you can maintain that alignment, then maybe they will see something in you that they desire. This ability to stay calm, to stay abundant, to stay focused on what you believe, stay focused on what you want. If they can see that in you, then that's the only help you have of helping them. That's the only hope you have of helping them.
So if I did kind of what Kyla was saying is, if I just did compromise, let's say, and I just, you know, I want harmony with my relationship, so I will buy organic eggs sometimes and sometimes not, and I'll just make a little agreement with my wife. Is that bullshit? Is that bullshit to you, or is that like
complete bullshit?
Wow,
complete bullshit. Okay, because all you're doing is avoiding conflict by changing who you are.
What if it feels good to do that, though?
Because I want harmony. It feels good because you think you're not going to feel fear when the conflict comes up. It feels good because you're avoiding fear. It feels good to avoid conflict, right? But all you're doing is avoiding a manifestation event of your own. Now, if you process the fear ahead of time, right? And if you think of yourself as an abundant person, as this person, then you will demand to be treated that way. You will understand that that's part of who you are. And you will also accept that this is a fear that she has and that I do her no good by compromising. I do her no good. By compromising, I allow her to control, to use control.
Can I add something?
Rather than allow. Sure.
About the idea of compromise, I think that if you're seeing it as a compromise where you're sort of sacrificing something for the harmony of the relationship, I would agree that that is bullshit. Or, I mean, you know, that
we love the way you say bullshit because it's so pretty and meaningful.
But so when I say, like, considering the harmony of the relationship and if I were in a relationship with someone and it was like my highest desire to be with that person and this subject of eggs came up, there would be two ways that I might look at it. There would be the way that these eggs, like I said, like I described it before, where they are something important. And it would also, like the other way that I see it, rather than it being this dualistic, like either this or it's me changing who I am for them or like trying to avoid conflict, I see another possibility where it's, I am making all of this up. What the fuck does organic even mean? What these eggs are meaningless. If my ultimate desire is to feel good together with this person, I see that this person has this fear around this thing. And I like, and so it goes back to, like I said, deciding what it is that I truly want. Like if I can get to, like, if I can get in alignment with the belief that organic, that it is meaningless. If I can let go of my attachment to that idea, then that is a way that I can, you know, sort of allow that person to be right and release my own like persona. Why do I think that I need organic eggs? Because then everybody thinks that I'm as healthy, like holistic, you know, blah, 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 blah. So that's a way that I think that it's possible to give up the eggs without giving up yourself.
Thanks. Yeah. So does that sound like, is that bullshit?
Let's change the eggs to disciplining your child. Let's say that we'll talk to Kyla. Kyla, you have two boys. Let's imagine that you get a boyfriend. Let's imagine that the boyfriend is over. Let's imagine that one of your children is being unruly, and he says you should spank your children.
Right.
So what do you do?
I recognize that he's in fear when he says that. Like in the moment, I recognize that he's in fear, that he wants them to be different than I am, that I want.
Recognize that you feel fear because he's judging you as a parent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then, so do you spank the children or not?
Spank the children, no. Like in situations with my parents, I haven't encountered that with like in that sort of relationship yet. But like in situations with my parents, I go back and forth. Sometimes
you spank like, them sometimes the and sometimes
I drop. No, I try to make them be someone other than they are sometimes, and I allow them to be who they are sometimes. I don't, spanking. I prefer other ways of dealing.
Right. So, but imagine though that you are a mother who does not believe in spanking your children.
Right.
And imagine that someone says you should do that. Right.
Uh-huh.
Just like imagine that you're someone who believes in organic eggs.
Right.
And you come across someone who says you shouldn't believe in organic eggs.
Right.
Right. So do you change your idea and decide to spank your children? It's exactly the same thing as your organic eggs. Or do you say to yourself, what do I care? People spank their children all the time. Why am I so resistant to spanking my children? I should spank them. If it's your belief and your idea, should you change who you are just because someone else has another idea that causes them fear?
Hmm.
We will leave it up to you. We do not know the answer. But we would say, in a world without fear of our own, we would allow people to feel fear, but we would not change our behavior for the sole purpose of compromise so that they can feel better. Now, this is a leading-edge idea. A leading-edge concept that may have no basis in reality, but it gives you a different way of looking at things, doesn't it?
It does.
Sure.
It's
okay.
And it's
I feel like
a
it,
basis.
Okay.
There's a basis.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I feel like somehow it's sort of saying the same thing, like that there's not discord here, but that, so the idea of the eggs, I don't know, maybe I need to process this more.
Well, let's say the idea of compromise.
You never want to change who you are, but real. I think that sometimes, like the eggs, are representative of the persona, whereas not
because they're fragile.
I don't see it as not spanking, but the way that I interact with my children is an expression of who I am, which is love.
Right.
And
right.
Organic eggs can be an expression of who you are, which is love. You know, in terms of loving yourself and your loving body.
Well, we're talking about
it can be an attachment.
Here is that doing something for the sole purpose of alleviating someone else's fear.
Right.
Right. We don't believe that's the most empowering way to do it.
What if you change that to where, okay, this is an opportunity for me to grow. He doesn't like organic eggs. He thinks I'm spending too much money on the eggs. I'm laughing
so you're
about the eggs.
Making but, a change only for one reason. There's only one reason you're making this change. The sole reason is to make someone else's fear go away, to allow them to control the environment, and to make that control work for them, right? And the only reason you do that is that they won't say anything to you. So in essence, you're only compromising because you don't want them saying anything to you because you can't manage your own fear. If you can manage your own fear...
But what if it's not only? Like, what if it's they say it, and then you're like, that's a good point. Maybe I'm being too crazy about these organic eggs. And like what Kyla was saying, so what if it's not the only – what if they point out something that you think, oh, it's a good point. Maybe I'm just being overly whatever about these organic eggs. Maybe I can work on my beliefs about
sure.
it.
Yeah. We're not saying that. We're not saying that at all. We're not saying that you're wrong or they're wrong. We're not saying that you can't get a new perspective or they can't get a new perspective. All we're saying is that you are not allowing them to control the conditions. You're not doing it only because of that. If you see that really, organic eggs, do some research and find out that there is no real difference, that nothing matters, that there are no statistics to prove one way or the other, that this is a waste of money, that's fine. We agree with that. We're not saying stick to your guns no matter what. But if you come to the conclusion that for you personally, this is for you, and the only reason you're changing, not because you didn't do the research and not because of anything else, but the only reason you would ever change is because of what they want you to do, just so they can stop feeling fear, just so you can stop feeling fear if they attack you for some other reason. We're saying, look at the conflict itself, understand what the conflict's about, realize it's fear, and understand
and realize-
that if you change who you're being so that they don't feel fear, you're just not doing anyone any service.
Right.
You don't want them to be any different. You don't want them to stop being fearful. You don't want them to believe that organic eggs are good. You don't want them to change at all, because it's the same thing going back to them, is trying to control them so that you feel better. So we ask you this. Would you take those eggs and then put them in a carton that looks like it's from a different kind of eggs to fool them, you know? So you wouldn't do that, because that would be doing nothing to help them, right? All you're doing is avoiding conflict by them, by deceiving them, which is perfectly acceptable. We're not saying that's wrong either. We're just saying that you're not doing anyone any favors.
Yeah. So Joshua, this is... this relates to me, because does anyone like use the saying, I walk on eggshells?
Sometimes.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Are they organic eggshells?
Organic eggshells, exactly. And so I have created a reality where I have these beings in my life that I've often walked around on eggshells. I've changed my beliefs and my behaviors to avoid the conflict, because I don't want to make them feel bad, or their fear is stronger than my fear, or it's easier for me to just give in.
It's easier to give in because you can't handle the fear that you're going to feel when they start trying to control you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's true.
But we're saying handle the fear yourself and then be who you're going to be, and stop tipping, walking around on eggshells, on your tippy toes, worrying about what they're going to feel. You're not doing them any good. You're not doing yourself any good. You're being different than who you are, just so that you can avoid conflict.
And that's huge, that other part that you just said. I'm not doing them any good. Because like sometimes, especially with a child, you know, you want to resolve their issues, and you don't want them, you don't want to get them mad, and you don't want to get them fearful. But you know, that was deep for me.
Yes,
that
you don't want to
feel fear.
Purposely bring up fear, but you don't want to sweep their fears under the carpet either.
Right.
You want to teach them how to process their own fears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how to realize if this is a real fear or not. How to realize what this is. And you can do it in delicate, subtle ways. You don't have to be as leading edge as we are talking here now, because even to you advanced leading edge people, this is a difficult concept. Yeah, you know, but
isn't the best way to teach to be an example of alignment?
The best way to teach is to be an example of alignment. That's exactly right. It's to be one who does not tiptoe around in eggshells. To be one who is not afraid of conflict. To be one who is able to not to dissipate the conflict. Who's one who doesn't have to defend themselves. Who doesn't have to allow the ego to cause them to dip below the emotional line. So an example of alignment is not one who's happy, chipper all the time. It's one who is processing the fear in the moment, or processing the fear without reacting to an impulse or an urge. Right? You can be quiet, leave the room, process the fear on your own, and then come back. You don't have to do it in the moment. You can do it overnight. You can do it over a week if you want to. It's when you respond but with urges and impulses to say something back, to make them wrong, to fight, to flee, to whatever.
So it's okay to flee, so you can walk out of the room just to process the fear?
If you're
just
going,
say you are right.
If you're one of those people who succumbs to impulses and urges and acts on those impulses and urges and says or does things that are detrimental to what you ultimately want, then it is perfectly acceptable to leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
If you're one of those people who has a hard time being around certain people who are always bringing up fears and negativity, it is perfectly acceptable to disassociate yourself with them until you can feel better yourself, until you can get your handle on your fears, until you can realize there are fears happening. See, the birds agree. Excellent. Does anyone have one last suggestion, idea, thought, inspiration? Is anyone inspired to argue with us, to make us wrong?
No,
go ahead, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy. I just wanted to say I had a sort of semi-conflictual event, manifestation event last week with two clients separately. And so I went through the whole thing with, I'm sorry, I apologize, I understand, I know, I agree, etc. Because there was nothing else I could say, really. And I walked away from that, not feeling great, but part of me thought, well, they're going to have a good evening, so I can try and let go of it. That didn't really work. What did work was the next day for me, that the relief came when I just started sending them love. And thinking, okay, this is their stuff. I send them love. I send me love. It wasn't automatic, but eventually I felt the relief. It was like, it's okay.
Well, it's always okay, isn't it? It always seems to work out. Everything seems to be fine. It's in the moment when you're being attacked, when you have fear that something's wrong, that you should have done something differently, that something should have been different than it was, where you believe that this event wasn't happening for you, that you wished it never happened in the first place. That's when it's hard to resolve the conflict, send the love, that sort of thing. Mm. The beautiful thing about sleep.
And you did head off the conflict, right? You did head, I mean, even if you didn't feel great after, it could have been worse, maybe.
Well.
So maybe that was the least resistance, what you did by heading off the conflict.
Well, Kate, are you a fighter or a fleer?
I'm generally a fleer.
Right. So Kate's not going to take up those urges or impulses to act in a fighting way, but you will have that conversation with yourself all the way back home.
Yeah.
And all night long. And then the nice thing about sleep is you get to leave it all behind, reunite with your inner self in non-physical, play around in the non-physical, sort things out, and then come back into your body at some point later on and now be refreshed, brand new. It's a new life. It's literally a new life. It's a brand new life, except when you start thinking about what happened the day before.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you can choose to perceive anything that happened the day before in any way you like. Yep.
Yep.
You have control over those thoughts.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the benefit of meditation, is that you can realize when a thought is coming into your mind that is not beneficial, you can exchange that for something that's a little bit more empowering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. And Wendy?
Yes, real quick, I was just saying, okay, so when we process a fear, to ultimately see if it's in alignment with what we want. Can you
think about what you truly want?
Okay.
So in the moment of the fear, you want the fear to go away. So you will have urges for the fear to go away. And generally those urges will be to attack the other person or to flee, to make the other person wrong or to leave the situation. Okay. If you choose to take action to make them wrong, you're going to say something or do something in the attempt to change them, right? To change their opinion. That is ultimately not aligned with what you truly want. What you truly want is a harmonious relationship, love, you want to express your love, joy, happiness, all the things you intended prior to your birth, right? All the natural things that you love about life. That's what you truly want. You do not want to be angry. You do not want to say things that you don't mean. You do not want to get other people upset. You do not want people to be different than they are. You truly do not want them to do that. You want to process your own fears. You want to realize that everything is happening for you. You want to see, well, why does this fear come up? That's the only reason this thing happened in the first place, right? Mm. You want to get good at taking the higher perspective. You want to get back into alignment as quickly as possible so that you can be inspired to go towards what you want rather than to change someone else or to control the conditions. Yeah. So always think, what do I want here? What do I really want? What do I really want? I really want love. I really want happiness. I really want my husband to be happy. I really want to have harmony in this relationship. I really want to talk about this. So if you could just say, yes, you're right, let's talk about this now. And they're saying, you're not listening to me. They say, yes, you're right, I'll listen to you. Tell me what you want to say. Okay, now let's talk about this. You can let that keep going as long as you want. Yep. Or do something else to ease the situation. But don't succumb to those urges to fight back. Or don't make yourself wrong either. Allow yourself to be right. Allow yourself to have your perception of reality. And know that your perception of reality is always going to be different than everyone else's. And that if somebody else sees something differently than you do, you're not wrong. And they're not wrong. And even though you disagree, you can find a perspective that they have at some point, and if that perspective floats your boat better than your perspective, then you can shift to their perspective. And if not, you can hang on to your perspective. But all we're saying is don't change just so that you alleviate someone's fear. Allow them to process their fear and stop buying into this idea of control. Because all you're doing with changing who you are and being a good girl is trying to control them so they don't get angry at you, mm-hmm. so that you don't feel that fear. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, by changing who you are, you're just doing it out of control. You're just getting the good grades. You're just buying the right things at the store. You're just clipping coupons. You're just going to work. You're just doing what you don't want to do just so you can keep their love coming. But that is the old approach to life. The new approach to life is be you, be happy, be inspired, do what you want to do, and they will come flying in. And when you be your authentic self, you will receive all the things you thought you were getting by being your inauthentic self 100-fold. Mm. You will receive 100-fold more love, 100-fold more satisfying relationships, 100-fold deeper connection with people, 100-fold of everything you wanted. Everything you think you have now, as we have said, is just scraps. It's meaningless compared to what you will have when you embrace who you really are and you be your authentic self without playing this game of control.
That's huge.
So we would like to thank you all for being here. This has literally been the most amazing conversation that we've had in, we will say, 14 billion years. There was one occasion where we had a great conversation back about 14 billion years ago. But up until then, this is the best one ever. So you all have a wonderful week, and we will see you again next time. And with that, as always, we are complete.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Love everybody. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.